بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of reminders on why Islam. Point number four is because human beings need laws, and our own whims and fancies, our own likes and dislikes, whatever is trending in our society at the time, is not a sufficient basis on which to make laws. Good laws are those which are self-evident, which are clear, which apply irrespective of time and place, which apply and continue to apply irrespective of their location, geographical as well as their location in terms of time. There's only one basis of such, if I want to use this as a basis for lawmaking, there is only one entity which can give such a law, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And that is the reason why in Islam, what is good is good, what is bad, good doesn't change to bad after a period of time, bad doesn't change to good after a period of time. Let me give you some examples of the opposite, of what happens when laws are made according to what is trending, what is okay, what is not okay, what is liked, what is not liked by people. Take, for example, today in the US and in Canada, and I don't know, maybe other places, recreational use, and this is, I'm using the terminology of the law, I didn't invent this term, recreational use of marijuana, of cannabis, is now legal. So you might say, well, you know, this is good, and people who like to use it, who are, we come to that. So you might say this. So then my question is, if this is good and if it is legal today in 2020, and this law was made by Obama here in the US, so it's a couple of years old. So if this is legal now, what about all the people who got jailed for exactly the same thing, recreational use of marijuana, in the 60s and 70s, the hippies? There were any number of people who were jailed at that time for the recreational use of marijuana. That's exactly what they were doing when they were having parties. Sure, some of them were also using other drugs and so on and so forth. But the point is that basically it started off from marijuana, and marijuana was illegal. Recreational use, we are not talking about medicinal use. You might say, well, you know, as a painkiller, it is a better thing than morphine and so on and so forth. We are not talking about that. I'm not talking about medical use of it for pain and so on and so forth. I am talking about recreational use. So now here you have a law which said that this thing is illegal, and you jail people for that, you fine them and so on and so forth. And then suddenly one day you decide it's legal. So now everything is fine. But what about the people who suffered? So what is the compensation for them? Is anybody going to pay them any compensation? Of course not. But the point that is what shows that as far as the law is concerned, that human likes and dislikes are not a sufficient basis to create good laws. Now, there are many more examples. I am not going to spend time now listing them. Take, for example, laws, there are laws and laws and laws. I mean, in the sense of laws meaning actual legal ruling on something which the violation of which results in jail and so forth. Or even if you take things which were acceptable, which are not acceptable today, or things which were not acceptable but which are acceptable today. If you take that, then the gamut of it is even more. So therefore, people need laws. Now, Islam comes with a legal framework, which is the fundamentals of it are divine. Right? There are two kinds of laws in the Sharia. I mean, this is just as a there's a lecture of mine about this, about the Sharia itself, and you know, those of you who are interested can listen to that. But the basis of the Sharia, the Sharia has two kinds of laws. There is the divine law and there is the juristic law. Divine law refers to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ruled in the Quran and what he ruled through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And juristic law refers to Ijma al-Khayas, the collective opinion of the scholars of the time and the individual deductive reasoning of a particular scholar. Again, by scholar, we don't mean anybody who calls himself a scholar. It has to be somebody who has the proper education, the proper qualification, and the acceptance in society of that. So anyway, taking just the divine laws, for example, those are unchanging. For example, if you take the ruling on interest-based earnings, earning and paying of interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ruled on it. It is a divine law, and it is unchanging and unchangeable by anybody until the end of time. Now, if you look at the law itself and you say, does this law make sense? Does this law result in goodness in society? Is this law conducive to the economy and to the running of life of economic activity in the 20th century? Answer is yes. In the 18th century, answer is yes. In the 16th century, answer is yes. Whatever time this law, which says that you cannot make money out of money, that you cannot take advantage of people's financial weakness, that you have to be responsible, that if you are participating with somebody in a business, then you are welcome to lend them money, they are welcome to borrow from you, but the interest, but the benefit and the loss must both be shared. You cannot have one in the absence of the other, and therefore you can't lend money on interest and you can't borrow money on interest, irrespective of how much it is and irrespective of what you are doing it for. It is prohibited. Was this a good law? Yes, it was a good law. Is it a good law? Yes, it is a good law. Will it continue to be a good law? Yes, it will continue to be a good law. Now, that is the whole thing, and this is what gives a law reliability. This is what gives a law, justifies it and gives it substance to say that it is something which is constant, which doesn't change with time and place. I mean, the same law, as far as interest is concerned, does it apply in India? Yes. Does it apply in America? Yes. Does it apply in Australia? Yes. Wherever you might be, whichever century, it applies. Now, this is the beauty of Islam, where it gives you a clear framework of what is good and what is not good. And therefore, it makes decision-making so much easier. It helps you to take the right decision. It helps you to do things which are beneficial for you. And it saves you from that which is not beneficial. Now, this is the reason why do we need Islam? Because Islam gives us this. It gives us this framework of reference in the way we should lead our lives. My brothers and sisters, the fundamental belief in Islam is that Allah knows more than me. I mean, it sounds like a silly thing to say, but really we should ask this question to ourselves. Do you really think that Allah knows more than you? Do you really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned about your welfare more than you are concerned about it yourself? Do you really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is good for you and what's not good for you? And this is, he knows it more completely and more deeply and more clearly than we know. I mean, do we really believe that? Now, if you say, no, I don't believe that, then really we have to look at our iman. Do I even have iman? And if I do believe that, and I'm sure all of us believe that, then we have to ask ourselves this question and say, what is the problem with obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even in matters which I don't like, right? Now, tell me, how many of you love wearing seatbelts? I'm sure there's nobody, right? It's a painful thing because it wrinkles up your shirt and whatnot, and it's restrictive. How many of you like wearing life jackets if you're on a boat? But the problem is, the thing we have to understand is that this restriction is directly proportional to safety. So because you are restricted, because you accept a restriction, you are therefore safer in that situation. And that's the whole point of any law. The law is not made for the pleasure of Allah. It's not made for the pleasure of, for the benefit of Allah. Now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is neither benefited nor harmed by anything. For example, alcohol is prohibited. Go talk to people who have alcoholics in their families. There's a friend of mine, Narendra Luther, who wrote a book on this about his son who was an alcoholic for 32 years and how the whole family suffered as a result of that. And of course, alhamdulillah, at the end, after 32 years, he managed to, he got cured and so on. His father was so, felt that this is so important to tell the world about the evils of alcohol. Now, these are not with a good friend of mine, but they're not Muslims. The point is that, you know, if there is something bad, it's bad. It's not only bad for Muslims, it is bad for everybody. So if alcohol, is it good? No, it's not good. It's not good for whom? For anyone. It's not good for Muslim, for you know, Hindu, Christian, whoever. It makes no difference, right? So that is the beauty of Islamic laws, that the law is good for everyone. It is good at all times and it is good in all places. And that is the reason why we need Islam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.